Miguel Castro. Miguel, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. You enjoying VS Live?
I always enjoy VS Live.
You're a veteran, right?
Absolutely, for a long time now.
How many VS Lives have you spoken to?
Every single one since 2006.
Wow, that's four or five a year.
Yeah. four a year average, that's correct.
Yep.
Let me correct that. There was one exception, and it was a giant snowstorm on the East Coast that kept me out of the airport, and that's it.
Ouch, that's what it takes.
That's a Mother Nature, that's right.
What'd you talk about this time?
I talked about several things. You know me, I'm all over the spectrum, so I don't stick to just one area. But I spoke about my usual, I always have one talk on services, something services related. So I kind of did a smackdown with WCF and WebAPI in a good way, a good smackdown, not a negative smackdown.
I actually did a talk on WebAPI.
Okay.
It was just kind of integrating it with jQuery and HTML5.
Sure, sure.
I think you went a little deeper than I did on your talk.
Yes and no. I say yes and no because unlike a lot of my other talks, I'm usually really, really code-oriented in all the talks that I do. And this one was less code, or it was less how-to code. I had demo code to show what I was talking about on the slides, but it was more of a discussion. It was the entire talk was based around one question. When should I use WCF? When should I use WAPI? That was what the talk was geared around, answering that question. And at the same time, settling the idea of it being an argument, of it being a discussion or a replacement or I should use one all the time and not the other because one's going to replace the other.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a little bit of one of those, I guess, one of the quintessential wars that always hits our sector, our area of business, right? There's always some kind of technology war going on.
Sure.
You look on the client side, JavaScript, right? You got Angular and Knockout, and they're just beating each other to death. Same thing on the services side.
This one, it seems to be that they're both from the same vendor, Microsoft.
Yeah.
And the one came out after the other, so you would think that one is a more advanced version.
It's not. By no means. By no means is it. And the two technologies are not. One's not designed to replace the other. One is not designed to be better than the other. These are two different technologies. They both do very similar things, but they do it differently, and they should be used in different scenarios. And people have to understand what the pluses and minuses are of each of these technologies to then make an intelligent decision. Don't take it as this is the latest cool thing on the block, so this is what I want to use.
All right, well, let's start with what they both do the same. What's the similar to them?
They both serve you information.
They both expose services.
Absolutely.
Building services, you can expose.
That's it.
They both
expose services. Absolutely.
Which one should I be using?
Okay, now this is how I make my living.
It's
not an answer that you, I'll tell you what, for a discussed hourly rate, we can. It's not an answer that I can just tell you, this is the litmus test. Use WebAPI. Yeah. This and this use WCF.
What other factors should they should?
There are a ton of factors, and a lot of times I'll spend, a few days with the client talking about their system and architecting a system and coming up with what components are going to make up their system, what their clients are going to be. That's a big part of it,
sure.
What their clients are going to be, what their current infrastructure is, and what the skill set of the developers online are, on their team are.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things factored together are used to answer that question. And to date, 95% of the time, it ends up being a hybrid approach.
Interesting.
Ends up being both technologies
so
being
some
used.
Some services in WCF, some services in WebAPI.
Absolutely. And take the mobile clients out of the picture. And when I say mobile clients, obviously we got three big mobile platforms now. We got Windows Phone, we got Android, we got iPhone, right? But take Windows Phone out of the equation because Windows Phone actually has the capability of reading WCF services,
mm-hmm.
okay? But Android and iPhone do not. They got to read REST services, right?
Okay.
So WebAPI shines there. But take those out of the equation, and if you're just using, on the mobility side, Windows, but if you're just doing services that are serving your website,
mm-hmm.
there's a big misunderstanding with a lot of companies, I find. They think because they're exposing a website that is public-facing, Google.com, obviously a bad example, but you understand what I'm saying, a public-facing website, they think, no, we're public-facing. So because we're outside the firewall, we have to use REST, we have to use WebAPI. What they don't realize is that they're not. 90% of all websites, they may be public-facing, but where is your web server lie? That's inside the firewall. So you can still benefit as an intranet application. So there's still a lot of benefits to going SOAP on WCF and then using a lot of the characteristics and flexibility and power that WCF has to offer. You know, yes, it's a more complex technology, but with complexity comes a lot of power as well.
Right. So that's one of the differences. The main differences is that WCF supports SOAP. The Web API does not.
WCF is primarily a SOAP technology. Mm-hmm. It did take a it wandered into the REST world for
a little while.
REST
toolkit, I think they call it.
Yeah, well, it went under several names, right? Okay. But then again, so have modern apps. So that's a topic for another discussion.
All right, next show.
WCF ventured into the REST world for a bit and did well. They brought people an introduction to REST services, the people that had WCF knowledge. The truth of the matter is that if you want to do REST services today in the Microsoft stack, you probably want to go the Web API route. I don't recommend anymore using the WCF REST stuff, simply because it's not going to be upgraded anymore, and the Web API stuff fits the REST criteria a lot more. If you're truly interested in doing REST services and meeting all of the REST criteria, you know, all 4 points of hypermedia linking and all the 5 verbs and all this stuff and being what they call truly RESTful, which, believe it or not, 99% of applications are not.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing. They're just not. They got to understand that they're not. Web API meets that a little better. And as Microsoft continues building on the REST stack, they're going to do it on the Web API side. They're going to leave the WCF one alone. So I don't quite really recommend that one anymore. It's knowledge that I still have, and on occasion it comes up at a client. On occasion I'll come up with a client that'll say, we just don't want to deal with ASP.NET. We're a total WCF shop, 100%. Mm-hmm. How can we do REST? At least I still have an answer for them.
Right.
I can show them how to do it.
So does it mostly come down to a question of when I'm deciding between Web API versus WCF, is it, do I want REST versus do I want SOAP?
It comes down to a question of clients. To me, it comes down to a question of clients. If your clients are going to be .NET clients, I honestly don't have any compelling reason to stick with REST, to do REST. Mm-hmm. Anybody that says that REST is easier to do, I disagree with that. I mean, WCF may be a little harder to set up on the service side, but then if you're a .NET client, on the client side, you're just dealing with client proxies.
Okay.
These visually, they look like regular .NET objects. Right. To a client developer that doesn't know any better, accessing a WCF service is nothing more than instantiating an object and making a call.
Right.
That's all there is to it. To REST, think about what you got to do to make that easy call to a REST service. The REST service may be easy to set up on the service side. On the client side, I actually think outside of the scope of JavaScript,
right.
JavaScript's a no-brainer because it's a dynamic language. You make a call and you got an object. The object just happens to magically have properties attached to it, right? They just got there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing this from a .NET client, now you got to build a model object, which translates to a data contract in WCF. So that doesn't go away. You got to build a class that instantiates HTTP client and makes a REST call. So now you're wrapping what the job of the proxy class is in WCF. So those tasks have not gone away
if
you're a .NET client. So I think if there's any litmus test whatsoever, I think the clients that you have to access are probably the one litmus test that I would use.
So maybe a JavaScript client would push me toward a RESTful interface, and therefore Web API, and a rich client like a .NET client would be incline me to serve up.
I'll give you the consultant's answer. It depends, right? Now, what context of usage for JavaScript are we talking about here? If you're talking about JavaScript from a view model used by either Knockout or Angular, at this point, that view model is going to, that JavaScript is going to reside inside your actual IIS application. So that view model is essentially a client to some services. Now, that view model has to access REST services, so it's going to access REST services in that MVC application, in that ASP.NET application. But that ASP.NET application is still a client to my back end. So I'm probably not going to make the REST services there my service tier, because I try to architect things out, right? We've always been taught about the layering of architecture. And there, my ASP.NET application is sitting on closer to my client tier. So I don't want that to serve as my service tier. So that's the hybrid approach I was talking about. At that point, Web API becomes a client to services down the line.
Interesting. Okay. I'll tell you that you said that you didn't see a lot of difference in the complexity, or maybe I'm not sure how you phrased it, but I've discovered that setting up the services, I was a consultant for years, and about once a year I get pulled into a WCF project.
Mm-hmm.
I always had to relearn WCF every single time I touched it. It didn't. It was never intuitive to me. Maybe you don't agree with that because you use it more than I do.
It's unfair for me to agree or disagree. I do WCF on a very regular basis. Yeah, I also teach it.
That's how you excel at WCF.
It's very second nature to me. So right. I can write a WCF based SOA based system right now completely without any Binging or Googling or books or anything.
Right.
And that's just because I do it all the time.
But for those
look at some of the Azure guys. I can't do Azure to save my life without Googling my way to infinity, right? There's guys that can deploy an Azure site without a problem.
I didn't find that with Web API. Web API just seems more intuitive to me. And maybe that's just me, but I can not touch it for months and then come back to it and then just pick it right back up again.
You know what? Don't touch it for 6 months. See what happens.
Maybe it may be
more intuitive in some areas.
Okay.
You know, the Web API has its strength in the fact that code-wise, it's more intuitive. But remember one thing about REST that REST tries to constantly sell to you is that REST is not about abstracting HTTP. It's about embracing HTTP.
Right.
And you're fooling yourself if you think that you can do true REST without good understanding of what HTTP and the HTTP stack is about.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
And Web API, being the Microsoft platform for doing REST services, does allow you to fully embrace HTTP. Now, that's an interesting point that you bring up, because there's two ways of writing Web API services. There's the full embracement of HTTP, which I don't think is any less complex than WCF.
Okay.
There's still knowledge to be learned that you have to learn, and there's still practices that you have to follow and things you have to remember. Then there's the easy, abstracted way, which to me defeats the whole purpose of embracing HTTP.
Okay.
Because think about it. You can take a Web API controller. Can I get code geeky here?
Sure.
All right. So you can take an API controller class and write a method and have that method return a class.
Sure. Or a string.
There you go. But let's make it a little more complex. Yeah. Let's say it's a person class. It's got five properties
no
on
HTTP
it.
No HTTP response
now,
at all.
Now let's take Web API out of the picture. What have I done there in C# terms? I've written a class with a method that returns something.
Right.
That's it. If I'm going to test that, I can easily test it as a class with a method, right? What is so Web API about that?
Right.
The fact that it's a controller and that's being assigned a URL resource that routes to that action, that's what turns it into Web API service. Mm-hmm. If that's not abstracting HTTP, I don't know what is.
Okay.
And at that point, you've abstracted, and that makes it a lot simpler, but it also makes it less restful. If you're going to go test that class, you're not really testing the HTTP aspect of this. I had this discussion with the attendees of the conference. They say, how do I test this Web API service? Can I just call this method? You can if that's how you wrote the method, but just keep in mind, you're not testing the REST service. You're testing a class with a method.
Right.
The other way to write HTTP Web API, luckily, Web API allows us to do this, and that is to have all methods return an HTTP response message.
Right.
To deal with the request message, to create a response message with the proper status code. This is the way we do REST if you want to adhere a little more to the original specification. And at this point, testing it becomes a little more complex because you have to simulate a request, which you can do that. You can mock up a request object, and then you return a response object, and you peek into the response object to see if you got the data and the status code that you want.
Right.
Now you've written a real REST test, but you've also written a little more of a complex service.
I see.
So think about it that way, and then tell me if you can stay away from it 6 months and then come back and jump into and remember all that. You understand what I mean? My point is it has its complexity. It's just a different type of complexity.
Sure. There are helper methods that allow you to create an HTTP.
Sure, absolutely.
Like that.
There's helper methods for everything, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, anything we haven't talked about we should have?
Any other of my other talks?
No, about this topic. Let's
stick here. No, we covered this whole thing, this thing that we did in 15 minutes here. This is what my hour discussion was about. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that, of course, I have 100 people in the room and I get feedback, and that the feedback was great. That's what makes this particular talk so enjoyable, is that it's, I'm not going to call it a controversial topic. It's a real topic of discussion.
Right.
The people that were in that room are people that either have to make that decision because they truly don't know, or there's the other group of people, the people that have been told you shouldn't be using WCF. Mm. That's bad. Why is it bad? Because it's last year?
Whenever you hear dogmatic statements like that in the software industry, red flag should go.
You know, you should just punch that person in the teeth.
Basically, I'm not a violent person, but I understand what you're saying.
There's something that we have to understand in not only the Microsoft community, in any community, but particularly in the Microsoft one, because there's a large company behind making a lot of these decisions. The problem is that when Microsoft stops actively pushing something, a big part of the community interprets it as dead.
Right.
And that's the wrong way to interpret something. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft needs to learn that even though they don't intend for something to be interpreted as dead, mm-hmm. it's going to be. So they need to be a little more proactive in saying, oh, by the way, remember this technology? It's still good. We still use it.
Yeah.
WCF is a perfect example of that. WPF is a perfect example of that.
Sure.
Well, big part of the community thinks WPF is a dead technology and it's going away.
It's
and it's not going away.
Very much. Yeah,
because we're not talking about it very much. And why are we not talking about it?
Because we're excited about the new stuff.
Exactly right. It's the new cool stuff, right? And, you know, I have a common theme to all the conference presentations that I've done since I started doing conferences. That's why the what's new in this and what's new are not typical talks for me.
Right.
You know, I try to talk about stuff that you can close your laptop after my talk, go back to your hotel room and start working on your project that you came here to solve problems on.
Right.
The stuff that you can use right now.
Yeah, that's a great feeling when somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to use that tomorrow.
Oh, it's awesome.
Edward.
It's absolutely
that's
awesome.
That's cracked to me.
Oh, it's absolutely awesome. That's cracked to you. I like that. And that's happened on this conference, and it happens on all of them. And it really is a great feeling. It keeps me coming back.
Where are you speaking next?
Where am I going next? We got BS Live Chicago in May.
Okay.
And then I got to go to Oslo to do NDC.
Excellent.
And I have another conference in April. What do I have in April?
I don't know.
I got a conference in Orlando in April. No, Intersections.
Diversions.
Yep, I got Dev Intersections in April and then BS Live. I'm doing 5 BS Lives this year.
Wow.
So we got Redmond in August, I think it is. And we got DC now in September, and then November we have Orlando.
Miguel, thank you so much.
Hey, man, it's been a pleasure. Definitely. Things that are important to me in my life: family, cars, cigars, technology, and friends.